This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast. Chris Graham and Rod Mullins were talking NASCAR. And we got to get into Kansas. Chase Elliott wins Kansas, his third career win. And now, Ron, the field of eight is set here in our NASCAR playoffs. Take us back to Kansas and take us through the big storyline from that race.
Well, the big storyline was a lot of people were thinking that probably Clint Bowyer would probably have the upper hand or at least the advantage. If not Clint Bowyer, then Martin Truex Jr., because he had been successful in Kansas before. They thought that those two drivers would probably have the big edge going into this race. But it turned out that, Chase Elliott kind of surprised the people. And I don't think there were a lot of people expecting Chase Elliott to maybe win this race. But it came out that, he picked up his third career win, as you mentioned, his second so far in the playoffs as they have kept down. It's one of those things where Chase Elliott made the comment yesterday following the race. He said, look, we're in a situation here. We're winning races. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. But there's just one thing about it. We can't catch up with these guys. The big three, and talking especially about Harvick, Kyle Busch, and then we're talking about Martin Truex in there, these guys have been able to go and they've been able to set the stage this year. They've just taken off with things and they've been running away with it. And so here that situation came up and Chase Elliott's doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's running, he's winning the races like he's supposed to, but we're in that situation of where the more that he tries to win races, he's still so far behind right now, he won't get caught up. And he's got the hope that some other things happen along the way to where he could get himself in contention for this whole thing. Now, the field of eight, the way that all of this has come down, you have already four drivers out of Stewart Haas Racing, which include Kevin Harvick, Kurt Busch, Eric Almirola, and Clint Bowyer. Now, those are the four drivers that's coming out of Stewart Haas Racing. Then you have Kyle Busch that goes in there. Kyle Busch qualifies out of Joe Gibbs Racing. And then you have not only that, you've got Joey Logano, who's made his place into the race, as well as Martin Truex Jr. And then, last but not least, you've got Chase Elliott in there. So you've got these guys in there all competing in there. And then you have some of these drivers like Ryan Blaney, for example, who came off with a big win at Charlotte during the Rumble race back at the end of September. Blaney gets eliminated. Kyle Larson gets eliminated. Brad Keselowski gets eliminated. And Alex Bowman gets eliminated. And that just leaves that path of eight, or that round of eight right there, between some big names, if you really want to look at it. And so Chase Elliott's hoping for some misfortune along the way with some of these drivers, and he's hoping for some good fortune for himself as he tries to make a run for these final four playoff spots now that's going to be available. After these eight got locked in, now there's going to be four spots available here in the upcoming weeks.
So how does to talk about the factor of so many guys from one team, Stewart Haas Racing, being represented in this final eight, how does that play out? I mean, obviously they're all competing individually too, but there are team factors at play here. Do they go all out? I mean, or do they kind of watch out for their guys? How does that team dynamic kind of factor into this playoff situation?
Well, I think we saw that team situation come up, especially how they were going to play things with the team concept at Talladega here a couple of weeks ago. And when they played that card at Talladega, it seemed like all the four teams got together and the four teams sat down and said, we are going to work together at Talladega. We are going to put ourselves in front and we are going to try to win this race and we're going to try to do what we have to do. Stewart Haas took it another step further. Everywhere, it's sort of like the Broadway song, anything you can do, I can do better to a certain degree. That's what they intended to try to do. So anything Ford was going to try to do, Stewart Haas was going to take it another step and do it a little bit better. And each and every time that you had Eric Almirola, you had Kurt Busch, or you had Kevin Harvick, or you had, Clint Bowyer, someone in that pack right there that was running up front, they tried to stay up front as close as they could, all of the other three cars, including all four, I should say, and they together. They all ran together. When one would make a move, they all made a move together. Sort of the old way that NASCAR used to be, the teammate concept. All of this has been thrown out the window, of course, with restrictor plate racing. And then the way that some of these teams have gotten competitive over the years, Jokic Racing, for example, is one of those. So Tony Stewart and Carl Haas just kind of sit down with them and just say, let's get back to the concept of teamwork. And if one of us gets there, then all of us are going to get there one way or the other. And that's what they did. Now, it's a good thing in that regard because you're seeing the great thing of teamwork concept, that teamwork concept come together with these teams. And it's working well for Stewart Haas. But for Joe Gibbs Racing, you only have Kyle Busch out there now because Eric Jones is out. You don't have Daniel Suarez in there. So Kyle Busch, based on his reputation and also based on what he's done so far on the year, he's not going to have a whole lot of friends that's going to be out there. The Fords are already set to a certain degree. They've been talking teamwork. And then look who's the other person that's knocked out of the cold concept, and that's Chase Elliott. Chase Elliott's going to be the only Chevrolet driver out of that. Alex Bowman's been tossed. Kyle Larson's been tossed. So now you have no Chevrolet drivers in there to be able to compete against these four. So guess what? It's all coming down to the line that either Stewart Haas could come away with this championship this year. One of those four drivers, and probably more than anybody else, Harvick could come away with it. But I'm really not going to count out at one point. Looking, Eric Almirola could come away with it, you know, after being in such a bad situation here about a year or two ago with Richard Petty racing. They were losing the Smithfield sponsorship. He goes over to Stewart Haas, picks up the, carries that on over with him, and they've never missed a beat. They've been in contention for just about every race this year. So, you know, that teamwork concept has really paid off for Stewart Haas this year, and the other teams are going to be suffering out of it, I think, especially down this stretch.
Interesting team dynamics. Now, we'll get folks ready for Martinsville at the end of the podcast here. We'll kind of turn our attention there. Let's go back off the track like we like to do on this podcast. And this story, the first story we'll talk about is one that is just so bizarre. But the Kurt Busch's former girlfriend going to trial. This is a fun story, Rod. Take us into this one.
Oh, this almost reminds me of one of your favorite ones, Chris. That's wrestling. I mean, that's what it reminds me of. But if you don't know who Patricia Driscoll is, Patricia Pauline Driscoll is the former head of the Armed Forces Foundation. And now she has been taken to court, and she has been accused of wire fraud, mail fraud, tax evasion, all these, an 8-count indictment, first count on interfering with the administration of IRS laws was dismissed. Now, you're probably asking this question, well, why are we talking about this on a NASCAR-type podcast? Well, it's because Kurt Busch dated Patricia Driscoll at one time. And if you're not familiar with this story, well, let's put it this way. Kurt Busch supposedly, as he said to other people, had his head put into the wall of one of his, RVs, while they were dating. They got into a big argument, a big fight, and it got pretty bad after a while. And Kurt Busch told people, and there were a lot of people that said Kurt Busch has lost his mind. They thought he was trying to come up with some kind of way to cover up what has been, at least with some degree, Kurt Busch's accusations or the accusations on him that he's been abusive verbally. And we've seen verbal abuse from Kurt Busch before. But this time around, this was somebody doing it to him. And somebody were, you know, these people were talking about this, and they said, Kurt Busch has truly lost his mind. He cannot, there's no way possible with this that this woman could do this. And he said, you know, I think she's special forces. She had some kind of link to special forces. Then they broke up. It was over with. And as everything came down to it, now Kurt Busch has kind of been mentioned in this case because he used his status, so to speak, and also his connections with NASCAR, Driscoll did during this time, solicit for money and other donations for that foundation that she had. Now, you know, they're trying one way or another to kind of keep Kurt Busch out of this because they were asking some of the jurors the other day when they were bringing them up for their interviews, would it make any difference if they heard the mention of Busch or NASCAR? And Kurt Busch is kind of like saying he's not expected to be called in as a witness for this or for either side in this case. Nobody raised their hand to indicate that they were going to be influenced by any of the references. But I'm telling you, this is one of those that, I don't know, it's almost like a cheap novel you might pick up in a bookstore or something. You've got this woman who is supposedly dated Kurt Busch. She piledrived his head into the wall of that RV. And then she's taken the court over supposedly tax evasion, wire fraud, and everything else. So it's kind of interesting. NASCAR still kind of has a connection to this whole thing with Patricia Driscoll. And everybody's still talking about this thing with Kurt Busch and his connection with her at one time. And by the way, Kurt Busch, I think, now is happily married. So he did meet somebody after Patricia Driscoll. And Lord knows if he's had to have any kind of therapy out of it. But still, it's been an interesting story.
Yeah, I think Netflix needs to just write all this stuff down. It would make an excellent series, it sounds like to me, all the twists and turns and angles. And we have a lot to go as the trial plays out, and we'll see how that goes. And so now let's get you to Martinsville. So we had some fun off the track there with that interesting story. Martinsville. So we've got the Field of Eight set. The NASCAR comes back to Virginia, which for those, we're based in Virginia, so it's fun to have NASCAR back in Virginia as we're you know, getting deeper in the playoffs. Who has the advantage among that Field of Eight, Rod, in terms of, you know, the track at Martinsville, and who runs there the best, and who do you think might be able to take advantage of this?
Well, Chase Elliott runs well at that track. I'm going to say that right up front. It's a Hendrick favorite track because Hendrick has won a lot of races there at Martinsville in the past. Of course, they have a lot of other, sort of a thing of their heart tugs at Martinsville because, you know, they lost a crew. Rick Hendrick lost his son in an airplane crash there several years ago as they were coming into the airport just outside of Martinsville. You know, this track means a lot to them. And for Chase Elliott, last year he was well on his way to picking up his first career win when Denny Hamlin, a Virginian who's from out of Chesterfield, wrecks him and immediately draws the ire of all the fans that's out there. The boos were so loud, it was just unbelievable. And Chase Elliott, for the first time, we saw Chase Elliott for a lot of us. We saw him with a bat bun. He was quiet. He had not said anything. He was minding his P's and Q's as the season went on. But when he got wrecked at Martinsville, we saw an entirely different, Chase Elliott come about with this. And that's what ended up happening. When he came out and he was able to go and stand his ground, we saw a different driver come out with him. So I think this is going to be big. The other thing that's going to be out of this, Kyle Busch loves to run Martinsville too. It's one of those bumper cars, like demolition derby sort of things when it comes to Kyle Busch running at Martinsville. So he might be looking to pick up some kind of win. Eric Almirola has raced well there before. Kurt Busch has also. Clint Bowyer loves Martinsville, but he also loves to push a lot of people out of the way and knock some people around, as does Martin Truex Jr. It could be a very interesting race on Sunday, and I will say this. I believe this is going to be one of those pivotal races going into this final stretch of races here into the month of November. This is going to be a big race. Somebody, somewhere along the line, we'll see a lead evaporate and could be knocked out of this process as we start getting closer and closer to the Phoenix, as we start getting closer to Texas Motor Speedway. That's going to be coming up. You've got Texas, then you're going to have the revamped track at Phoenix, then you're going to be making your way into Homestead. Somebody's going to lose some ground, and it could be a big-time loss this coming weekend, and especially at one of the most pivotal tracks on the circuit. And one that's history precedes itself, and also it makes or breaks some people, and that's Martinsville.
Yeah, Martinsville, always tight racing there, and that in a playoff scenario, that's going to be fun for NASCAR fans this weekend. Well, Rod, thank you for your time. As always, we look forward to breaking down Martinsville next week with you here on the podcast.
I appreciate it, Chris. A little bit of a abbreviated show this week, but I'm sure we'll have a lot of stuff to talk about next week after this Martinsville race.